I had to give this class to a group of people who didn't know any Hebrew. So, all the sources are in English as well as Hebrew. We'll do some in English, some in Hebrew.
Okay.
I'm very impressed everybody who came out here. Even though I've never found somebody who my father used to say used to melt in the rain. But my father used to call people who came out only when it was good weather, used to call them fair weather Jews. So you guys are not fair weather Jews. You come out in all weather. And hopefully they'll say it was worth the trip. And if not, you won't. Okay. Are we ready? Okay. Before we start looking at the sources, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, again, because I want you to have input. So I'll start with a general question. Do you think that traditional Judaism, normative Judaism, says that astrology is something good, something bad, or neither?
Depends, not bad.
I've heard neither, not good, depends. Okay? I'm not asking you for a one-word answer, I'm asking you to prove it. Why do you say not good? Whoever said not good.
I say not good. I have nothing to back it up, just what some people say to me.
So okay. We'll get to everybody. Anybody? Yes.
I think that there's a place for it because we see historically, like in synagogues that they found, like up north near Beit She'an and stuff, they actually see it in the mosaics on the floor of synagogues and stuff. Like that they're found, there is an understanding of astrology and Judaism, and it's acknowledged. So there has to be some understanding and relationship that we can see with regard to.
Okay. I'll say the same thing I say about Jews when they say, how can Judaism do this? And these Jews, you know, how can you believe in honesty and we see these Jews all cheating the government? And I answer, Judaism is perfect, Jews are not, right? I'd say the same thing about your answer. Just because you found something in a synagogue in the 4th century doesn't necessarily mean that's traditional Judaism. Okay, there was a very famous exchange between Rav Soloveitchik and who was in the seminary? I forgot his name.
Lieberman.
Yeah, Rav Lieberman, right? He was at Lieberman, and he found some exchanges in some of the words and some of the. The things they found on the ground, right? All the archaeology, etc. And they found things that seemed to go against the Torah. So he said, now remember, they didn't bury them necessarily on purpose. Rav Soloveitchik says, he says, just like you and I write nonsense, you know, like they found in the Cairo Geniza supermarket lists, and because it was in Hebrew, so they kept it there. So any kinds of, just like we write nonsense that's or total garbage, and then we put it and we throw it away, it can get into a Geniza, right? Doesn't mean that it's legitimate. It could be a piece of garbage that got into a Geniza. Doesn't mean that we find it. So it doesn't prove anything, but it certainly proves that it existed, right? But certain people thought that way. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think we believe in the mazalot.
Define mazalot.
The mazalot. Stars,
believe in the stars, that they exist.
We don't worship them, but we believe that they exist. We look for Shlosha Kochavim, the Motzei Shabbat.
Stars are certainly part of Jewish tradition, correct, that they exist.
So is the sun and the moon, and I think there's an acknowledgement that there are hundreds of suns in different.
I just finished something about something else. It was about the vastness of the universe. I wish I could quoted exactly, but you know how many stars there are like the sun in the universe? 200 million trillion stars, which is a number that we can't even fathom. Okay, I'll give you a billion, right? If you started counting now to a billion, one second at a time, how long is a billion? 32 years. This is a trillion. Okay. So that with the vastness and how many stars, yes, we know they exist. But what is this? Well, that's more. You just haven't defined mazalot. What is astrology? What does it mean?
Well,
define astrology.
Astrology.
Don't tell me you came here because you don't know the definition.
Astro is the Latin for star.
Okay, but that doesn't mean, somebody who believes in astrology, what does that mean? Somebody who goes to an astrologer, what is an astrologer then?
The human condition can be affected by the heavens and the spheres.
Okay, you're very careful. The human condition, whatever that means, is affected by the spheres. Okay, affected by what goes on up there, right? Heavenly bodies, right? Okay, that's, they're affected. I like the word affected instead of controlled. Okay? Okay, good. Do you believe, does science believe that?
No.
Why? Believe what?
That the conditions of the world we live in, and human beings, are affected by the stars. By the.
If they believe in gravity, yeah.
Okay. We know that you live, you know, I think the Avodah Zarah of at the beginning I said the Avodah Zarah of Ashkelon when I first moved here was Delilah. Everything was Delilah. Not Samson, nothing about Samson, but everything about Delilah. But I think it's the ocean, right? The ocean is the Avodah Zarah here. Everybody's got the ocean, they're talking about the ocean, whatever. We know that the ocean, at least, is affected by
the moon.
The moon, right? And many things in the world are affected by all kinds of forces are affected by. So in the science world, we say they are affected. And we know that, by the way, it's true also, the human condition is affected, not in the way you meant, but let's say like if it's a very cloudy day, people in generally are more depressed than if it's a sunny day. Right? You're affected. Right? All right. It's a couple of steps to say, okay, you're really affected. But it means where you were born and how, under which stars and which thing. That affects who you are, what you, et cetera, we're going to see that. Mazalot, we're going to see a very interesting, it's not, well, we're going to see. What does it mean, Mazalot? And what does it mean, the whole idea? Okay. That Judaism believes in stars as part of mainstream Judaism. We'll see, we'll quote some sources. And let me start by saying, just because you have a source, like your source, doesn't necessarily mean that's normative Judaism. If you find it in halakha, and that's how I use halakha in this course, it shows that it's normative Judaism. If your Shulchan Aruch brings it down, because you can find a source for almost anything you want to, and pick apart, whatever. So, but if you find certain sources, just because I find a Gemara that says this, it doesn't mean anything. But if the normative rabbis bring this down and it affects their lives, that means that there is something there, okay? So one of the most, or the most studied commentary in the Torah is?
Rashi.
For the last few hundred years, you can't even buy a Chumash without Rashi, right? It has Rashi in it, nothing else, just Rashi. Rashi is the premier parashan. And he brings more or less normative Jewish ideas. Sometimes he brings wild midrashim, which you're going to see in a moment. But like, look what he says. This is from Parashat HaShavua a couple of weeks ago. And the first source says the following: Vayitzav Paro l'chol amo le'mor. Paro decided one day to tell all his people. He was afraid that the Jews would, you know, take over. He said the following: you have to throw every single Jewish infant boy, male, into the Nile River. And obviously throwing him in the river meant killing them. It didn't mean putting him on the little ship that Moshe was on and going to be saved, okay? Okay, so the question is why? Why did Pharaoh one day get up and say this? So the rabbis discuss what happened, etc., etc. Rashi brings the following. It says, first of all, it says, he gave this commandment to all his people. Even to the non-Jews, to the Egyptians, he made this gzeirah. Yom shenalad Moshe amrulo itzadninav. And they make sure to say it, put the vowels in there so you know what he's talking about. The day that Moshe was born, the I would say the astrologers, that's at least that translation, came to Paro and said, Hayom Nolad Moshiach. The savior of the Jewish people was born today. The kid was born today. Yeah. Okay? The Ein Yodin Imi Mitzrayim Imi Israel. And we don't know if he is a Jew or if he is a non-Jew. V'roim Anu Shesofo Lilkot B'mayim. But his end will come through water. Okay? This is all Rashi quoting the Gemara, basically. Lefichach Gazar Oto Hayom Af Amitrim. Therefore, he made the initial proclamation not only against Jews, but against non-Jews as well. Sheneamar Kol Havein Hilo. We think it's only against the Jews, but if you look in the verse, it says any, it doesn't say the word Jew in the verse, it says any person, any child that's born. V'noamar Hilo Leivrim. V'hein Lo Hayu Yodim. They didn't understand Shesofo. What was Moshe's end with water? Right? What was his end with water? Lilkot al Mei Meriba. When he hit the rock instead of talking to the rock. And that was his end in terms of his life, in terms of not getting to Eretz Yisrael. So it involved water, and they were right, but not that water. Okay? So why did I bring this? I mean, I could have brought many things. We see that this Rashi, who was certainly a norm, brings down astrology as if it's pure, accepted by all the Jews, right? By the way, there are many, we have a hard time in 2023 accepting that they had in Egypt certain abilities that we don't have today. We always think that we are much more advanced and whatever. But if we take the simple explanation of the Torah, you see that they, first of all, we know that they took the dead and they embalmed them in a way that we can't do today. That's number one. Keep people, you know, alive in terms of, you know, very very much they, nothing happened to them, the bodies. Number two, when the Moshe did the first two plagues, last week's parsha, two weeks ago already, they were able to duplicate. How can they duplicate? How can they make the blood? It wasn't an David Copperfield, it was a real thing. But certainly, the fact that Rashi quotes astrology and gives it legitimacy, and the fact that Paro acted on the astrology, and that the astrology was correct, shows that Judaism believes that astrologers have a certain power. Correct?
Yeah.
If this was the only source, I would say no. Right? But Rashi, we see it again. Okay? Take a look at source number two. This is talking about Abraham says, God, you promised me a family, you promised me, and I don't have a family, and I'm getting old, and I'm getting a little worried. So God says to him, this is the famous Brit Bein HaBikurim, when God makes a covenant of the pieces. God, it says in the Torah, source number two. If you want me to read in Hebrew or in English, I can read in English, whichever you want. Anybody have any preference?
Yeah, Hebrew is nice.
You're
reading and translating.
Okay. God took him out. Vayomer habet na'ashamayma. Look at the stars. Count the stars. Intucha, if you can, which you really say you can't. Right? Intucha is forotam, if you can count them. So the simple explanation was, it was night, he took him out of his tent, he looked at the stars, and said, just like you can't count the stars, you won't be able to count each individual Jew. No one person can count 15 million people. Okay, that's what it means today, right? We think, oh, because they have a computer, no person can count 15 million. What does Rashi say? He took him out, after he took, I think he gave the first perish. He said, oh, he said, Lefi Pshuto, Hotziyo Meya Halo, a simple explanation, and he took him out of his tent, L'chutz L'roch L'chachamim, to see the stars. Well, Lefi Midrasho, and when Rashi brings a medrash, it means he wasn't satisfied with the simple pshat. Because why would the Torah care? Why would the Torah care to tell us if he took him out or not, etc.? You just say, look at the stars. Amar lo, what does Achutza mean? Say, may its tagninut shelcha go out of your astrology. Go out of what astrology predicts for you. Shera'ita v'mazalot, this is your mazalot, that you saw in the stars, she'encha ati la'amid bein. All the astrologers told Abraham, you're never going to have a child, right? So if he's never going to have a child, based on that information that he was told by the astrologers, he went back to God and he says, you know, we know that astrology is correct, so I won't have a child. So how did you tell me I'm going to have a child? So what does Rashi answer? Anybody know? It says in the stars that Abraham, that Avram, which is his name, won't have a child. So he says, Avram ain't no bein. The person called Avram doesn't have a child. Well, Avraham yesh lo bein. But the stars didn't predict anything about Avraham. The chain Sarai lo teled. Sarai won't have a child. But about Sarah teled. Sarah will have a child. Ani korei lachem shem acher yishaneh mazal. By changing your name, you change the mazal. Okay?
So
then,
like,
Mr. Hanel,
is very ill.
Ding, ding, ding. Why do we change name? Because it says, Mishtaneh Shem, Mishtaneh Mazel. Right? So what do we translate? We normally translate Mazel as luck. Yeah. Right? When you change your name, you change your luck. You change it. But that's not what Mazel means. You change your predicted future. Mazel means predicted future.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to get back to that in a few minutes. Okay, okay, and therefore, every person here who says, I mean, I didn't ask the question, but if I asked the question before you came into this class, do you believe in astrology? Raise your hand before we get into this class.
No.
Okay, believe in astrology, two people. And I say every single person in this class believes in astrology. It's how many times have you said mazel tov in your life? That means you believe in astrology. You had a good star that told that they made this happen. That's what mazel tov means. It was predicted in the stars that something good should happen to you. Mazal tov. We all say it. We all affirm astrology. Right? Shah tova is a little bit, it's a little different because the time, the timing of something, even though it means it can mean the same thing, it doesn't necessarily mean the same because you're not calling into the stars. So Shabbat means it should be a propitious time. Everything should be in a propitious time, right? You know, if we had this on Sunday nights, maybe we'd have more people, fewer people, but it should be Shabbat over. It would be good people on Wednesday night, right? All right, you know, but that's essentially what it means, okay? Especially when it comes to births and deaths. Remember, death was much more prevalent in the whole world till the 20th century. People died unexpectedly. Today we know for medical reasons. Remember, what was the average age of people in America, at least, in 1900? 45. That was the average age. So when they say you're going to get, when they decided in 1935 that people who get a pension at age 65, they thought it'd be about 12 people, right? Really? They said it'd be less than 10% of the population will never get there, because at that time it was like 50-something the average. Based on the thing, they didn't think it was gonna ever happen, right? And that's one of the reasons why Social Security is in such trouble, because blah, 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 blah. But you know, but things change. But death was much more, and remember, we, even though we live in Israel, and God forbid we do have soldiers around, when a soldier dies, one soldier dies, we feel it terribly, right? But in World War II, World War I, tens of millions of people died. You know, death was so prevalent. So we don't have a real sense of how common it was out there. Okay, anyway. So, based on the first two sources, Rashi, astrology is part of Jewish thought. We base our understanding of the Torah based on, chutzah means he went out and took him to the astrologer. Okay? So, very, very difficult. The next one I'm definitely doing in English. And it's the strangest astrological, if you will, source. But here, because it's in the Gemara, I'm not saying every single word here you have to take at its face value, but this is the source, okay? And we're gonna use this as we go on, okay? This is the very, very last page of Gemara Shabbat. It was recorded in Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's notebook, okay? Now remember, when he says notebook, it was because before the Gemara was written down, it was not allowed to be written down, okay? Remember, Torah Shabbat Peh, it has to be oral. So people, in order not to forget, they would have little notebooks and this, but it wasn't written down as a Gemara. So when they finally wrote down the Gemara, they wrote it down as it was recorded in his notebook this way. Meaning, this is what he wrote down. Who was born on the first day of the week? If you're born on a Sunday, what's going to be your personality? Okay? You shall be a man without one thing in him. Okay? What does that mean? You should be a man without thing. So the initial understanding is you have nothing positive in your you if you're born on Sunday. I'll bet you most of you don't even know what day of the week you were born.
I do.
I didn't say you don't. I said most people. I said most people don't even know. But in astrology, you know what day, what hour, what that affects how you are. This is this classic astrology. If you're born on this day, in this, what is it called? I remember what it was in the 60s, it was, when the moon, what was it called? Morning, age of Aquarius. So it's in this, first you have the
Jupiter
has to be aligned, and okay? So this is what the Gemara says. He was born the first day of the week on Sunday, should be a man without anything in him. What does one thing without anything in him mean? Shall we say it means without one positive virtue? Surely Rabbi Ashi said, I was born on Sunday. I don't have anything positive in me. Hence it must truly mean you have one vice. It doesn't, you have no negative qualities. You have only positive qualities. But surely Rabbi Ashi said, I am Demi Ben Kakutso, but born on the first day of the week. I am a king and he is the captain of thieves. So how can we both be born on the same day if being born on the same day means you will be X? Okay, understand the question. If two people, and that's a very good astrological question. If astrology means, let's just say, if I'm born on Tuesday afternoon, May the 5th of 1955, and a Tuesday afternoon, and another person's born in that time, and we have totally different personalities, how could that be? According to astrology, it can't happen. The same question. We'll come back to that. So he says, I am a king and he's the captain of thieves. There either it means completely virtuous or completely wicked. If you're born on Sunday, you're gonna be totally, you won't have any, if you wanna call it complexities at all. It'll either be very bad or very great. What is the reason? Because light and darkness were created on that day. So you'll either be light or you'll be darkness, but you won't be both. That's what they said. He is born on the second day of the week. By the way, this has nothing to do with our class, but when you say the second day of the week, right? How do you say, it doesn't say Monday, right? How do you say Monday in Hebrew? Second day of the week, right? The Judaism has no days of the week, and all the days of the week are Avodah Zarah anyway. Monday is the day of the moon. Sunday, day of the sun. Tuesday is a Danish god. Anyway, but today, second day of the week, okay, we call Monday, will be bad-tempered. What is the reason? Because the waters were divided. This all goes back to the creation, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided the upper waters that we call the skies or beyond the skies, and the lower waters we call the oceans. Interestingly enough, all the scientists are looking for those waters on Mars and all these places. They're looking because they know there's waters up there. Okay? He was born on the third day of the week, will be wealthy and unchaste. What is the reason? Because luminaries were, no, it's not luminaries on the third day. What is the reason? Because herbs were created that day, the plants. Who was born on the fourth day of the week will be wise and retentive memory. What's the reason? Because the luminaries were suspended thereon. In other words, the sun, the moon, the stars were created on the fourth day. He was born on the fifth day of the week will practice benevolence. What is the reason? Because fishes and birds were created on the fifth day of the week. Who was born on the eve of Shabbat, the sixth day of the week, will be a seeker, right? Seeker of probably greater, more spiritual things. Or Nachum Bar ben Isaac commented, a seeker after good deeds. He was born on the Shabbat, will die on Shabbat, because the great day of Shabbat was desecrated on his account. Okay? And he was born. I guess in order to be born, they have to do Beit Michal Shabbos. I think that's what it means on the simple level. All this is not meant to be understood on the simple level, but that's not here now. Rabbi Sonnenbaum, Sheila observed that he should be called the great holy man. Rabbi Hanina said to them, to his disciples, go out and tell the son of Levi, not the constellation of the day. He disagrees with everything that we just said. Based on when you were born, when born, does not decide who you will be. Right? This is the other side. Go tell the son of Levi who said all this. Right? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, not the constellation of the day, but that the hour is the determining influence. He says, no, not this influence, but that influence. He is born under the constellation of the sun, will be a distinguished man. He will eat and drink of his own, and secrets will lie uncovered. If a thief, he will have no success. He is born under Venus, will be wealthy and unchaste. By the way, astrology is used all this. What is, turn the page, again, I'll try to do this quickly, because we're fine. Because the fire was created. He was born under Mercury, will be a retentive memory and wise. What is the reason? Because Mercury is the sun's scribe. Who was born under the moon will be a man suffering evil, building and demolishing. Demolishing and building, eating and drinking that which is not his, and secrets will remain hidden. If a thief, he will be successful. He was born under Saturn, will be a man whose plans will be frustrated. Others say, all nefarious designs against him will be frustrated. He is born under Tzedek. Under Jupiter will be a right-doing man. Rabbi Nachman to observe right-doing and good deeds. He was born under Mars with the shedder of blood. Now, to me, and when they quote this Gemara, this is the line that they use. If you were born under Mars, right, why shedder of blood? What's the connection between Mars and shedder of blood? Mars is called the red planet. So you will have blood red associated with you. But look what it says. A shedder of blood. Let's say it's true. What does a shedder of blood mean? Keep going. Either a surgeon, a thief, a slaughterer, or a mile. Okay? So that already makes us think, wait a second. It doesn't mean you're going to be good or bad. It means you will have certain tendencies. And if we learn all these things this way, you will have a tendency to, I'm very good with using a knife, right? You can use a knife to kill people. You can use a knife and be paid $1 million a year to be a brain surgeon. Okay? Same knife, I mean, not the same knife, but using a knife, or a moral, or a shochet, or whatever. So, if we learn this way, then what we're saying here is that when people are born, at least that's what the Gemara is saying, we have certain tendencies, okay? By the way, are we born with certain tendencies? Every person here is born with tendencies, okay? Now, the science will call them genes and environment, right? If your parents are both, I don't know, let's just say wonderful people, and you turn out to be a wonderful person, oh, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? Yeah. Or it could be because my genes say I want to be a good person. I like to enjoy helping other people, even if people are separated, which we're going to come to in a few minutes. I have a lot to do, so let's get finished this at least. Okay? So what we see, either a surgeon, a thief, or a slaughterer, or a moil. I was born under Mars, he says, Rabba said. Abaye retorted, you two inflict punishment and kill. I'm not sure what that's referring to, the Mepharshim talk about it. It was stated, Rav Hanina said, now, okay? The planetary influence gives wisdom, the planetary influence gives wealth, and Israel stands under the planetary influence. In other words, these are mazalot that you referred to, that the mazalot predict how you will have wisdom, wealth, or what else did they say here? Wisdom, planet, okay, wealth. And Israel is part of that prediction. Okay. Rav Yochanan said, Israel is immune from planetary influence. Jews are not affected by mazalot at all. Some say all Jewish people, or it says Jews in general. Okay? What's going on here? Okay. Well, this is what the Gemara says. So the fact that astrology played a role in their lives is very clear, correct? But how much of a role and what does it mean? It's not so clear. Now I'm going to get even more complicated. Okay? Now, so far, it's just saying, again, we have tendencies. You have no control over your tendencies. What do I mean by that? When I say tendencies, everybody understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Some people are more sexually hyperactive than other people. Okay? Doesn't what you do with that is up to you, which we're going to come back to. Some people, you are not in control of how tall or short you're going to be, says the Gemara, says many of the Mefarshim, right? I don't think anybody here thinks that they are in control of how tall or short they're going to be, correct? Also, we have many tendencies. Some people are naturally good, some people are naturally not so good, whatever that means. Tendencies. Does it come from the stars? Does it come from genes? Does it come from... They're all saying the same thing. We are not coming to this world tabula rasa. We are not coming to this world with nothing. And everything is... right? Certain people are born, their parents are... The children of Bill Gates are not coming to the world with the same... certainly the same environment as the children that we know, okay? Because they come into the parent who's Bill Gates, wealthiest, let's just say wealthiest person or whatever, and with his background. By the way, you know, I would say the children of Steve Jobs, but Steve Jobs was an orphan, right? And he made, so everybody, you come to the world, you're influenced. Whether it's, we call it stars, or whether we call it genes, or whether we call it environment, we're influenced. Now comes the kicker. Watch this. Again, I'll do it in English. It's faster and more understood. From Rabbi Akiva too, we learn Israel is free from planetary influence. He basically says that we are not affected by astrology. Correct? Watch what it says right afterwards. Okay, this is on that same page.
Okay.
For Rabbi Akiva had a daughter. Now, astrologers told him, Rabbi Akiva, on the day she enters the bridal chamber, a snake will bite her and she will die. Okay? He has friends, and he says, you know, I'm an expert in astrology. We saw that your daughter is going to die on the day that she becomes a bride. Okay? He was very worried about this. So every single line here, we're going to go back in a minute. But why was he worried? He just said that we're not influenced by the planet, right? Okay, we'll come back. On the day of his marriage, I guess he had a very, was, should Rabbi Akiva been worried or not? Okay, he said he was worried. She took a brooch, right? A brooch, everybody knows, where did they have, when you take your wealthiest, or your most expensive jewelry, where do you put it? Where do women place their most expensive jewelry?
Where?
Where? I'm talking about when you're not wearing it.
The safe.
Sorry?
A safe place,
right? We call it, let's just be medayic in your words, a safe, right? People can afford a safe, have a safe, yeah. Right? In those days, what was a safe? A hole in the wall.
Okay?
So what could she did? She took the brooch and put it in the safe, and by chance, as she's putting it in the safe, it penetrated into the eye of the serpent and killed the serpent.
By chance.
Okay? The following morning, when she took it out, the snake came trailing after it, died. But it could have bitten her and killed her. Mm-hmm. That's what it's trying to show. And that the astrologers were right, but they were wrong. Okay? What did you do, her father asked. The father's not asking about what did he do. He saw that she put it in the What did you do with the fact that the snake didn't bite you? She says, during the wedding, a poor man came to our door in the evening, during the wedding, she replied, and everybody was busy at the banquet, and there was none to attend to him, give him money. So I took the portion that was given to me, I took my food, and gave it to him. Okay? Because during her own wedding, she took out time to help a poor person. Rabbi Akiva said, you've done a good deed, he said to her. Thereupon, Rabbi Akiva went down and lectured. I can't say this in Hebrew. Utzdaka tatzil mimavet. There's a pasuk in, is it in Mishlei? I think it's in Mishlei. That tzedaka will save a person from death, right? Not merely from a natural death, but from death itself. Okay, before we go any further, anybody have any comments about this? What does it all mean?
We can control our destiny.
We can control?
Our destiny.
We can control our destiny, okay.
Jews can redirect their mazal by doing mitzvot.
Okay. We can redirect our mazal, we have control of this. That's why I use the word tendencies, right? Even though it's not a tendency that you're going to get bit, either you get bit or not. But we saw that he did. What about the fact that Rabbi Akiva said, I don't believe in it, it's not affected by it, but then he was worried about it. Did he believe in astrology, not believe in astrology, etc., etc.? Okay? Now comes the 4 and 5, because we have to get to the second part. Okay, I'll just do 4, 5, 6, and 7 quickly. The 4 is the big question that Susan raised before. Do we say Mazel Tov or not? Amar Rabbi Chiya bar B'nei Mizoni lo b'schuta talyam milta ela b'mazla talyam milta. How many children I'm going to have and who will survive, let's say. And my food is not dependent on the stars. What did I say? Not merit, is not on my merit, but on the star planetary influence, which is very depressing, right? On the other hand, maybe you'll be a bad person and you'll get a lot of money, right? What does it mean? It's not because of something I did. Now, do we believe how much money we're going to get for a salary is in our control? It says on Rosh Hashanah, God decides how much you're going to have the whole year except for Shabbatot. How much money you're going to have, right? There are people who are brilliant, tzaddikim, and do everything to help and do all the right things and are very poor. And there are people who are miserable people and they are wealthy. It's not up necessarily up to us. Say also children, you know, we tend to think of, oh, I'm a good person, I'll have many children. It doesn't work that way. That's what he says. It's not up to me. And then he says, it's up to the mazal. The Yesh Mazal in Yisrael. And Jews are affected by the planetary influence. Yochanan Omer, Ein Mazal Yisrael. Jews are the only ones not affected by the planetary. Even though we saw that Rashi says, yes, Avram was affected, Moshe was affected, everybody's affected. Okay, we're going to see if that's affected or not. Okay. Source number 5, I'm just going to say out loud because it takes too long. It says that when God wanted to bring the flood on the 17th of Cheshvan, because he waited for the Shushalach to die, etc., etc., and he found that was a time of not so much water comes on that day. So he changed the Mazalot, says the Gemara, so that it should be a day that has much water can come, and then the skies open. Again, you have to change the mazalot for the skies to open to have the flood, not to override. That we see again, all these sources saying that there is a concept that they affect us. Okay? Okay, I'm going to skip 6, not that important to us. 7, I'm going to say because it affects me personally. It says, and most people read this and don't understand this. It says, Amar Rav, it says in Pesachim Bet Amar Bet, the simple understanding of the Gemara is, a man should always enter a town by day, because the first time it says the word Kito in the Torah, it refers to light,
yeah.
Right? And should exit on light. Why? It's safer, right? Along comes, my father always used to say, and we're going to see this is not just my father talking, because he wasn't a Talmid Chacham, he didn't learn any Gemaras. He says, when you move into a place, you should always move in on Tuesdays, and move out on Tuesdays. Move in on Tuesdays. Why? Because it says Ki Tov twice. And they use this Gemara. Come into a town, when you move, you should always move on Ki Tov. Ki Tov is twice. It says if you look in the first paragraph of the Torah, and again, our Torah, but it's using it for, you know, astrological reasons. The first day, the light was created, it says Kito. Second day, the waters were split because they were split. The rabbis say it wasn't Kito, it was good. On the third day, Tuesday, the day the plants were created, it says Kito twice. My class said, make sure you always move into a place on Tuesday. And I've done that whenever I could, you know. Okay? Now, all this is very nice, but it's all very nice hearsay until you look in the Torah itself. The Torah tells us, and is actually part of the mitzvot, that you're not allowed to talk to an astrologer. Where does it say it? Source number 8. Al tifnu el avot, v'el ha'idonim, al tivakshu l'tama bahem, ani Hashem elokechem. Right? It says you're not allowed to turn to a medium, oracles. Again, these are just words that were translated by the Santina or Arthur. It doesn't make a difference. Because you will defile yourself if you turn to an astrologer. I am the Lord your God. Okay? That's in the Torah. The reason I brought that in parentheses, I wanted to show you that right before this line, this pasuk, and right after the pasuk, it says, keep my Shabbos, number one. And then it says, give respect to old people, right? So we're not talking about, you know, pasuk in the middle of nowhere. We're talking, okay. It says that right in the Torah. Not only does it say that in the Torah, it says source number 9 in the Torah. Did I keep you knowing? No. Source number 9 in the Torah. And also number 10 is in the Torah. Lo taflu al adam. You're not allowed to eat blood, okay? Lo tenachashu v'lo ta'onenu. You're not allowed to predict the future. You're not allowed to say, this was going to happen to me because of this and this and this. That's what it says. Again, I don't want to use them. Each of these things are described in the Gemara, what is each one. At that time, they had many people who were coming along and saying, I can predict the future, I can do that. Torah saying, you know, I'll do it. Based on everything. It's Avodah Zarah. What? Avodah Zarah. So astrology is Avodah Zarah. And it's source number 10. Ki atah be'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha notein lach lo tilmad la'asot ha'Torah v'ot ha'Goyim ha'im. You cannot imitate the nations of the world. Lo yimotzei b'cha ma'avir b'no b'to ha'esh. There was certain Avodah Zarah where you actually had child sacrifice. Right? You're not allowed to do that. In the same pasuk it says, kosein k'samim, magic. Doesn't mean here again, David Copperfield magic, which everybody he knows sleight of hand, and nobody magic, whatever that means. Let's say the Chartumim in Mitzrayim, Meonim and Achesh and Mechashev. Okay, the Chover Chever Yidoni. This is like divination rods. V'Shoel Ovi Yidoni, and you can't ask to predict the future. V'Doreish Alamitim and go to the and ask from the dead. All right, we call a seance today. Right, this is right in the Torah. This goes all back. Why? Ki tolavat Hashem oseh kol eila, because these are abominations to God. Ubegal tovot eila Hashem elokecha marisham mipinecha. And then it says, tamim yiyeh im Hashem elokecha, you shall be totally faithful to God. Okay? What does it all mean? If you're not allowed to go to one of these people, then astrology is out of here. Right? Correct? So on the one hand, we see that they believe very strongly in astrology, and astrology was correct by Rabbi Akiva, etc. On the other hand, you're not allowed to use astrology, and you can't go to an astrologer. So what is going on here? What is the Torah? And we're going to see, based on different views, it's not monolithic. There are different ways of understanding. It's not either or. We'll see some aspects of astrology we accept and some we don't. Okay, I'm gonna skip 11 because it just defines what it says. Soothsaying, consulting a skull, I don't know what any of this means anyway. Okay? But source 12 says, how do you know you're not allowed to go to an astrologer? Okay, they call it Shoalim b'Kladayim, because it says the pasuk in source number 10, Tamim yiyeh Hashem Elokecha. What does it mean? Certainly it means the following. Anyone of these people who is forbidden in the Torah, openly say we don't believe in God. There are other forces in the world besides God. And these forces have control over you. If you believe that, pure avodah zarah. There, it's you're not you're it's against the Torah. Okay. If you believe that there are other forces, by the way, that's one of the reasons that some many say Christianity is also avodah zarah. Not only because of the Trinity, etc., but the pasuk says, and the Christians didn't allow us to say that. We say it in the morning. The pasuk says, "Yotzer or avodah choshech." We say hakol, right? In the actual pasuk, it says vorei et harah, right? That was very hard for Jews to say, accepted, whatever. Well, that's what we believe. God is the creator of evil. Christianity believes that there's something called Satan, which creates the evil. There's an evil, an opposite and equal force. We don't believe that. We believe everything comes from God. There's no some other power in the world. And again, there are sitra, all kinds of stuff. But the basic is everything comes from God. If you believe that all these people have power, or that there's a power other than God that's going to affect my life, that is totally not Jewish. Everybody accepts that. Okay? But that doesn't mean there can't be astrologers. Watch. Okay. I'm not going to do 13. Okay, 14 helps explain. Not a little bit, I'm going to do it. Everything in the world is controlled by God, except. What does the fear of God mean? Every moral and ethical choice we make hundreds of times a day is fear of God. That's a lot of things that are not in God's hands, correct? Every time we decide to do something, it is in our hands. That is the basic Jewish belief. It's not in the astrologer's hands. It's not in anybody else's hands. It's in our hands, how we act. Okay? It's not me saying it. It's the Rambam saying it. It's everybody saying this. Okay? It says in the Torah, at the end of the Torah, I give you the Torah, the evil, and the death, and the life, and goodness. The basic idea of free will is sacrosanct to Judaism. You can decide how to act. Everything else could be affected by other things, right? God forbid there's a drunk driver who happens to go into your car, God forbid, and have an accident on the way home. You can't say, you can only do what you can do. If that, we don't know why that happened, etc. But you have to react to what you can react to. If you believe in God and you believe that you have free choice in every single situation, that eliminates the idea that astrologers can affect my life. Okay? And he goes on, he says, if your desire got so strong that you did the wrong thing, and you went in the way of your heart, knowing it's wrong, Lo yosifa sotobi yeshuva masha asamina shamayin, you could do tshuva, etc. V'tam tamimi emachem anokecha, the reason why we have that verse in source number 10, says, okay, sheni yachay levaveinu elav levado, means we have to have one heart, one belief in one God, and that God controls everything, not other powers. V'namin shehu levado sa kol, did everything. He knows the future. And he can tell us the future. Not anybody. From his prophets, or from his, if you want to call them, people who are given special powers, if you will. I'm not going to call them Hasidic masters or whatever. Like the Kohen Gadol, you cannot ask the future from anything that's not Jewish. And not everything they say is true. Now he says something important. אבל אם נשמע דבר מהם, נאמר הכל בידי שמיים. But if you hear that this and this and this will happen out of your control by astrologers, you are permitted to believe in that because hakol bidei shamayim, God controlled that this is going to happen. It wasn't a moral choice, okay? Okay? And therefore we answer the story about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, I am not allowed to ask the astrologers what's going to happen for my daughter. I am not allowed to ask, but if the knowledge comes into my friend tells me, without knowing that I'm not allowed to ask, I can take it seriously, okay? Because they have certain powers, but I'm not saying that I believe in the idea of other power than God. If something happens, if the snake would have bitten her hand and killed her, right, that would have come from God. Okay, you understand the difference now? Yes, no, maybe? Okay, I just want to make sure you understand the difference. Who controls the stars? God. Etc., etc. So I'm not going to go through it now, but say the following. We are not allowed to believe in the power of anything except the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu make things happen in the world? Yes. Do they happen through the stars? I don't know. Whatever that means, through the stars. Okay? But things happen. Okay? And if we turn to the next page, you're getting to the end. Okay. And therefore, there is a belief that things happen, but we're not allowed to ever give any power to them, and we're never ever allowed to say it's not from God. Okay? Along comes, anybody who's been waiting for me for this source for the whole last 45 minutes will be happy, but I don't have time to go through it. Source number 16 is the Rambam. The Rambam says, everything I've said in this whole shir and all the Gemaras and everything else is total BS. It's nonsense. There's no such a thing as power of astrologers. Period. That's what he says. You can look at it in your own time. You have the English, right? There's no such a thing. They have no powers. Tipshutain, just stupidity. And anybody else who thinks that they have any power is, whether they're Canaanites, etc. Go off the table. So unlike all the Talmud Gemaras we had, the Rambam says it's all nonsense. Even though it happened to Rabbi Akiva, and it happened, and people said there is mazal, there isn't mazal, etc. Okay? So we have two, and again, we're doing this for the time, two distinct views of how we see astrology. The Rambam is easy. It's all nonsense. It's all garbage. Right? And therefore, going to anybody to ask what's going to happen in the future, you're an idiot. Right? You're paying them money for nothing. On the other hand, there is a strong stream that says in Judaism, everything comes from God, except how we react to every situation, which gives us a lot of latitude. But we know for sure things are not in our control, right? And again, I'm not going to go into the details, what is in our control, what is not in control, who got COVID, who didn't get COVID, etc., etc. But the point is that there are things that happen that are God-directed, if you will, through the stars, and we're going to see how that works in a minute, okay? And they believe that there is a power out there that affects us. Okay? So we have two different opinions. What are we going to do? Take whatever you want? You can, right? But now we're going to see the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, remember, we have, on the one hand, we have the Torah that says you're not allowed to ask and you're not allowed to go to any of these people because you're giving. They don't believe in a God that we have. So therefore, you're not allowed to go with it. Number two, Rambam says, it's all nonsense, etc. The third opinion is that, yes, there is power there, but we can't ascribe that power to anything except the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Shulchan Aruch comes along and is going to surprise you. Source 17 says, Ein shoalim b'chozim v'kochavim v'lo b'goralot. You're not allowed to go to an astrologer. You're not allowed to go to anybody who says, I have power, and is not ascribed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? That's number one. Haggadah, the Ramah says, Mishum Shinemar, going back to source number 10, Tamim, you have to be one with God. God is the source of all power in the universe. And you can't ask anyone who claims that they have the power to tell you what's going to happen. Okay? Now, having said that, in a different part of the Shulchan Aruch, that's in your... keeps going. Nahagu she'ein machilin bebet ubedalid. Right? You don't start a project on Mondays or Wednesdays. Okay? And you only should get married when the moon is full. Okay? Now, the Shulchan Aruch put this in halacha. He's not just putting it as a good idea. But we ignore this. Most people don't start a job on, or whatever, a project on the second Monday, Wednesday. And certainly, the caterers would be in a lot of trouble if they had only one night or one a month to have a wedding. Okay? However, look at the Ramah. Lachein nahagu, lachein, for the same reason as the Shulchan Aruch, he says, we have a minhag, gam kein lahatchil l'mol b'rosh chodesh. When should the Zman learning in a yeshiva start? I mean, they weren't yeshivas in Islam, but a new learning period start on Rosh Chodesh. In every yeshiva in the world today, when they start learning the new Zman on Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh Elul starts the Zman until the end of, talking about after high school, after Yom Kippur, then they're off till the end of Sukkot, and they start the first Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan till Nisan, Purim, Nisan, etc. And they start again Rosh Chodesh Iyar. That has become accepted.
Because of the Ramah?
Yeah. But it's because of astrology.
Interesting.
Okay? L'halacha. Okay? Ask any place in the world. Ki afalpi, this, I have a whole shiur for an hour on the next five words. Ki afalpi she'ein nichush yesh siman v'masha adam yodeya shum kineged hamazal. What is he saying? Nichush, you're not allowed to predict, say, if this and this happens, it means such and such. If a black cat walks by me, it's a bad sign. That is nichush. Right?
Is that what in English is written as divination?
Could be divination. But
Siman
is allowed. If somebody says, you know, I don't want to give an example because it gets an hour sheer. What does Nichush mean? What Siman you're allowed to believe in. I'll give you a good one. I'm trying to think of something that's obviously a Siman, but I don't know. Yeah. If I try to apply for a job, and they all say, and I want to apply for a specific job in four different places, and they all say that you don't have enough experience, right? That's a simon that you don't have enough experience and that you get some experience, okay? You can't say, oh, God is holding it against me, because it's logical, right? Again, I'm not, this is a whole shiur, what is the difference between simon and the yichush, but it's here, so I'm saying it right. You can believe in Siman, but you can't believe in Nichush. If it's against, how does he translate it here? Using a sign is permitted. If a person knows that something is contrary to planetary influence, knows, remember, it doesn't want to consult, right? Lo yaseh lo yismal chalmes. He should not do it and not rely on miracles, like Rabbi Akiva's daughter. If he has some special knowledge that something bad is going to happen, don't ignore it, he says, the Ramah. Okay? Seems to give some credence. But you can't go to an astrologer and find out about it. Because it says you should be one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we cannot seek out. But there is knowledge of what will happen in the future. Don't be an idiot and say, if that person knows, I'm going to ignore it completely. If a person, do you see the tension here?
Mm-hmm.
There is tension. The Rambam gets out of it explaining it very well. And with this, we're going to end. He says there are stars and there are mazalot, but unfortunately, people think that they came about by themselves. The source to 18 is a very powerful source because it explains the history of the world. It says, Bimei Enosh, that everybody believed in the idea that there was some kind of God, but in Yeh Enosh, who preceded Noah, a few generations before Noah, Tahu Bnei HaAdam Ta'ut Gedola. They made a terrible mistake in how they looked at the world. V'nevarach Itzach Kachmei Otawador Enosh Atzmo Menatawim Haya. And Enosh, who was the leader of the generation, and they try to understand how the world works, they made a terrible mistake. This was their mistake. That continues till today. Amru, Hoel Elokim Barako Chavim Elu, since God created the stars during the creation, the fourth day, the Galgalim, Lahanig et Olam, the sun, the moon, the stars, the universe, etc., etc., the Nathnaba Maron, Chilek Lahem Kabod, and he put them in the skies, and he gave them Kabod, the sun affects everything in the world, and plants grow through the sun, etc. People started to give them the sun, the moon, the stars, kavod. I don't want to say independently of God. If people understood that the sun and the moon and the stars are serving God and were put here by God to do certain things, just like there is people under the king who, when you give them kavod, you're really giving the king kavod. They started to build shrines to the stars themselves. And they brought karbanot, sacrifices, to the stars themselves, as if they were independent
deities
who were able to do things independently of God. That is how idol worship started. This star is what's controlling the world. Anybody believes that the star is in control? That's why you can't go to an astrologer, because all the astrologers believe the star itself has the power. By the way, Chabad used to say, anybody who believes that putting a note into the kotel itself has some kind of power to make it happen, is the same thing, and same with Avodah Zarah. Right? We have to understand that these were all there to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if we understand that they are agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they have messages for us sometimes that are relevant, we should, according to not the Rambam, then we can sometimes pay attention to them and therefore do things even if we don't understand why, etc., etc., starting on Rosh Chodesh. But to say that they have independent power and they can control my lives, it, to the point, by the way, where people say that even I have no choice, you know, I'm going to get married to somebody who's this and this and this and this because it's not my choice, that is anti-Jewish and anti-everything we believe. Everybody agrees we retain the power of choice in our being, even though we are born with tendencies that may come from our DNA, our environment, or maybe from Kochavim that work for God. Okay? I would take questions, but we're past the time, I apologize. Anybody? Questions?
Yeah,
is
a
jewel
after
an astrologer?
Sorry?
What about kissing a mezuzah?
Okay, kissing a mezuzah. What about kissing a sefer Torah?
That too.
Okay. What about kissing a child? Okay. What are you doing by kissing?
You're showing
connection, respect. Correct? Mm-hmm. If you think that the mezuzah, by kissing it, you're going to have a great day, it's guaranteed, that's Avodah Zarah.
That's right.
But if you're kissing it, you're showing kavod to what's in the mezuzah, what the words are, and that they're important, then that's perfectly okay. So it depends what your intention is. When you kiss your child, I don't think you think that you're going to get some great thing by kissing your child. You feel closeness, right? You want to show your expression. That's okay. Yes?
Is a Jew allowed to be an astrologer? Just to show
you tell me.
Tendency? I think, according to some, it should be allowed. In other words, they could tell you your tendency to a certain, whatever your tendency is because of the when you were born, but God has control.
First of all, well, if you say that, you won't ever be a successful astrologist.
What I'm saying is that is a Jew will have to be an astrologer?
I would say the word non-astrologist. There are many, many Jews who claim to have knowledge that you will be so-and-so, you'll be that and that, and that exists. But they don't call themselves astrologists. As soon as you call yourself an astrologist, which
what
by definition means the stars have independent power.
No, I didn't know that. That's not what I said. That's not what the meaning of the word astrology is. Jewish, what you would define as astrology, not the word astrology, but that you understand that there's a tendency of where you were born and when you were born. It has a tendency to show you where you will go if you don't change things. That's
100% okay. There used to be Mashkiach in Yeshiva Keren V'Yavne who used to take a handwriting analysis. And he would tell you a lot about yourself based on your handwriting. Mm-hmm. Right? Which is okay. It's an indication. But he didn't say that because you handwrite this way, that your stars are saying that you're... But if you say, listen, you know, you talk terrible about people all the time, that's going to get you in trouble. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Obviously. So it depends where you give the power to. If you say, it depends where you give the power to. If you say I'm an astrologist, by definition you're saying something.
I didn't mean that. I mean, say.
If you say, listen, I want to help people, and I can help people, some people call that psychiatrists. Some people call that psychologists. Some people call that Rebbes. Rebbe, what's going to happen to me? Yes, Steve.
Shulchan Aruch Rav has something very interesting, where he talks about, the Baal Tanya says that not to make kiddush on red wine during a certain hour Friday night, because it gives power to Mars.
Right, there are different hours of the day associated with different, yeah. Okay. And they talk about bloodletting and that there are certain, that's also why we say that there's a different Hazel.
Yeah, there are many statements, that's what I said, I try to take a normative statement. That is not, even though Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Baal Tanya, is considered a great, you know, rabbi, that, I don't know if Kabbalah follows that, doesn't follow that, but it's not important. It's not normative Judaism, right? Yeah, that's why I say don't be confused by statements that are not followed. We don't have weddings once a month, even if it's a Shulchan Aruch. Forget about Shulchan Aruch, but we don't do it, right? Doesn't mean, because that's not what we've come to accept, that there's something power on the 15th. And I am sure, I don't know for sure, but I'm sure. There are people who get married only on the 15th.
Or on Tuesday.
Because it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Today more than ever, the point is, yes.
I'm just curious, when Rabbanim or people go to Rabbanim to say, can I marry this person, these names, are they okay together? Is that a form of astrology?
Okay. Again, it depends what you say who the Rav is, okay? And it also depends why he says it. If he says, listen, I saw in the stars that you shouldn't get married, that's not allowed, right? But if he says, listen, he's not the right guy for you, whatever reason, right? That's my advice.
No, some people do it just based on names.
On names?
This name and that name.
Again, change the name. You know, I've never heard of that, but again, name. You know, I mean, today it's crazy. There are people who will not go out if a woman, if you come from a family that puts plastic on the tablecloth on Shabbos. I'm serious. In other words, what I'm saying is, anybody who says that's going to be a criterion, right? Okay, names or this and that. You know, you're talking about Yerushalayim. We didn't ask people 1,000 years ago, should they get married, and you have a lot less divorce. It's no indication. Let's put it this way. We don't know of anybody, I don't know of anybody who didn't got married because of names or didn't get married. We do have a thing, got married names. You're not supposed to marry a person, and you have to get special permission, with the name of the, you can fall in love with somebody whose name is your father's name. So if a woman marries somebody, wants to get married, but is going to hear from her words in the same room, your father's name, that shouldn't really come from, you know, a daughter, that's a problem. That's the only thing that they talk about with names in marriage that I know of. You understand? But a name, the times, but by the way, I'm not telling you that names are not important. Names are very important. There is a, the, is it I think the Arif says, yes, specifically, I have a whole chapter about secular name, Jewish name, that at a bris, the malach comes that helps the parents decide the name mm-hmm. for a child to make it appropriate for that child's personality and goals, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not minimizing names. I just never heard of somebody saying you can't marry somebody, you know, two people are in love and you can't marry somebody because, you know, I never heard of it. It doesn't mean that doesn't exist or whatever. Anybody else? I want to thank you for coming out in the rain. And next week we're going to do a very interesting topic because it's very relevant, believe it or not, to our lives, called collateral damage. Everybody know what collateral damage is? Right? Especially we're going on with terrorists right now. You can get the terrorists, but in order to get a terrorist, you have to kill 4 innocent people. Yeah. Allowed or not allowed? It's going to take us an hour to answer that question. Okay?